Okay, for Parshas Mishpatim, we're going to take a look at the piece, Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Lamed. The Pasuk says, V'anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li, should be holy people. And then it goes on to say, V'asab Rasad Atrefa, Lai Sechilu Lekelav Tashlichu Naisai. That's the Isra Trefa. They're not allowed to eat a Trefa. Just to explain very briefly the meaning of the word Trefa, because it's a very misunderstood word. It's come to mean non-kosher food. That's not what it means. It is, it's not kosher, that's true. It's just one example of non-kosher foods. There's lots of foods that aren't kosher. You could have a behemoth tamei, you could have nevela, you could have basa b'chalav, and then there's trefa. Trefa, the way the pasuk describes it, is an animal that's been torn apart, like a sheep that's been torn apart by a wolf. That's the meaning, the literal meaning of the word trefa. And its halachic meaning is any animal that has sustained such serious injuries that it's surely going to die from them. An animal that's destined to die imminently is considered a trefa, and you're not allowed to eat it. So that's why when we shecht an animal, we have to look inside to make sure that all of the organs are intact, so that we could judge that it was a healthy animal and that it was able to live. If we find that one of the internal organs are not intact, so then we consider it a trefa, and it's not kosher. The reason why, just as a historical aside, before we look at the piece, the reason why the word trefa has come to mean food that isn't kosher in general, like if you find something that doesn't have a good hechter, you say, oh, it's trefa, is because the vast majority of shilas that people came to with the rabbanim in, you know, nowadays, when people call up their rav with the kashra shayla, it's a taruvis problem. It's I put the milk of a spoon into the flesh sugar pot or something like that. But until modern times, the most usual shayla that somebody would come to with the rav is a chicken. They would shech the chicken, and then they would bring it to the rav, and they would examine the internal organs, and they would find something that wasn't quite right, something that wasn't perfect, either in the bones or in the organs. Something's broken, something's punctured. And they have to bring it to the Rav, and the Rav studied these things. See, nowadays, all of these things happen in the Shlachtes. Nobody has direct encounters with meat at that stage of the process. When the meat comes into your house, it already has a stamp on it that it was deemed to be kosher in the Shlachtes, in the slaughtering house. But in the times that you know, everything was less industrialized, so a person would buy a chicken, a live chicken, bring it with him to the Sheikhet, and say, here, can you shecht this for me? They would shecht it. And then you would bring the dead chicken home and start to cut it up. And then you'd discover something that might be a shayla. Maybe it's a trefa. So you bring, like, those shaylas that you discover when you're examining the inside of an animal, those are trefa shaylas. And that's what they would come to the rav with. And the rav would pass in kosher or tref. So when the rav was telling them that you can't eat it, the psak was tref. Because over there, the shaylas were usually trefa shaylas. Now, it's ironic. Nowadays, the shaylas that we come to with Rabbanu are never trefa shaylas. But the word has become sort of colloquially used to mean food that isn't kosher. Okay, but we're learning chumash, we're not learning colloquial language. So this is the mitzvah of trefa, not to eat an animal which has been torn apart, which is not able to live. But it's the mitzvah is prefaced with this very glorious term, V'anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li. So the Ramban is coming to explain why the mitzvah of Trefa is prefaced with this expression. And he says, Tamakos of Hazeh, Ki ad heina hizkir ha-mishpatim, v'hizkir b'dvarim ha-mechoyerim. If you think about everything in the parasha up until this point, this is the end of Perek Chof Beis, so we've had the mishpatim, which are all ethical mitzvahs, right? The proper Hilchas Shemrim and Hilchas Ganovim, those are all things that ethics require. And some Dvar Mechayarim, in the recent Psukim, it had mentioned a Machshefa, it had mentioned a Sheikhev and Mehema, things that are Averis because they're really low, ugly. So those also are things that a decent person wouldn't be involved in such aveiros. The machshefa, the sheichev and mehema. So all of the mitzvahs up until this point, if someone violated those mitzvahs, we could say that there's something wrong with that person. Either he's unethical or he's indecent. Va'ata kishabola haschil.
I think the room is muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Yaakov. Better now? Okay. Va'ata kishabola haschil be'isr hamachol. Now, when it's switching directions and it begins to talk about Macholas Asurais, sorry, Yaakov, we're doing Perchav Beis Pasuk Lamed. That's the piece that we're in now. Omar, so before beginning to talk about Kashrus, about Isurim on foods, Pasach V'Omar, it begins and it says, V'anshe Kodesh Tiyunli. I want you to be holy people, meaning I'm not satisfied with just decent people. All of this is until now, you just need to be decent people. You don't need to be so elevated, so holy. But for this, it's because I want you to be holy people. Sheroi hu, now this next line is very hard to read correctly. Sheroi hu sheyoichel adam kol ma sheyichya bai. That line is really meant as a havamina, meaning not that that's what V'anshei Kodesh Tiyunli means, that it's there for roi that you do the following. What he's explaining, that Macholis Asurites are described with the term Anshei Kodesh because Roihu, it would have been proper, meaning Misvara, you'd think that it's fine, that a person should eat whatever is edible. If there's things on the planet that go into a person's body and they're good for you, or at least they're edible, they work as man food, as people food, so you want to eat whatever you can, eat whatever you want. You know, food is all a matter of taste, and your culture could like your foods, and my culture will like our foods. And there's nothing indecent or wrong about any kind of cuisine. Ve'ein ha'asurim b'macholim rak tara b'nefesh. That which the Torah forbids certain foods is a tara b'nefesh. She'toichel dvarim nikiyim. The Torah wants us to eat very fine foods, and he'll explain what does he mean by fine, not what's called fine foods, but shelo yelidu oivi v'gasos b'nefesh. Foods that don't produce fatness and coarseness in the soul. Now, what does that mean, fatness and coarseness? Obviously, those aren't good English words for this, but that's the direct translation of what he's saying. But what he means is things that make the soul less receptive, less sensitive to Inyani Kedusha, to Inyani Ruchnias. Things that drag the neshama down, make them more, let's say, numb or unresponsive to Ruchnias. The neshama has a very delicate role to play. It's attached to the guf, and it also comes from Shemayim, so it's supposed to be the bridge that connects a yid to inyanim ruchniyim. And the neshama, if it's kept very, very clean, sort of, let's say, call it transparent, like clear glass, so it allows the ruchniyis to flow into the person, into the guf, it would become more elevated. But if the neshama becomes, he uses the terms, gas, like think of it like clogged, like a clogged duct, so then it doesn't, it makes us less receptive to Ruchnius. I think that's what he means by gasus, oivi v'gasus b'nefesh. And that's what Machalas Asuris do. The Torah was marchik us from those foods that have a negative spiritual effect on the neshama. Alkein Omar. That's why the pasuk is v'anshei kodesh tiyunli. That's why the parsha of Machalas Asuris, over here it's not a whole parsha, but the mitzvah, this mitzvah of Machalas Asuris is prefaced with the words anshei kodesh tiyunli, kaloimar, Ani chafet shetiyun anshei kodesh. I want you to be anshei kodesh. And here he digresses a little bit, sort of mid-sentence. Read this parenthetically, but very importantly. Why do I want you to be anshei kodesh? Why does Hashem care if we are kodesh or we're not? Bavur shetiyun. So he says, look at the hemshech of the pasuk. Anshei kodesh tiyun li. He's reading it as if it's like two sentences. Be anshei kodesh, that way tiyun li. That way you could be close to me. Shetiyu ru'uyim li l'davka bi. Dveikus. Dveikus v'Hashem is only possible for people that are receptive to Kedusha, that are able to receive messages, are able to perceive Kedusha. And because Hashem wants us to be davik boy, so He wants us to maintain our neshamis in this way. Lefikach, back to the point. Leisigal nafshesechem achilas adram ha'matuavim. So don't eat, don't defile your soul by eating the things that are a toeva, that are spiritually harmful. The Kach Omar, he brings a pasuk, and this last part of the paragraph is a little bit tricky also. He brings a pasuk in Vayikra, the Shaksat, the Shasechim, the Shasechim, the Shavis, the Lakhitam, the Mahamad, the Mason, the Bumkin, the Isham, the Kacham, the Kadisham, the Isham, the Kadisham, the Kadish Ani. So he says, what does he want with that pasuk? He says that I see something from that pasuk, but it's also in a way different than what I'm showing over here. That pasuk says, don't eat shratzim, because that's going to be mishakhets your nefesh. Now, sheketz is a very strong negative term. That's going to wreck your nefesh. V'hinei hashratzim mishakhsen hanefesh. V'hatshreifa ein bashikotz, avo yesh b'shimim imena kedusha. So he says, what I see from there is that machalas asuras affect the nefesh. That's the main theme that he was explaining here in this piece. And he says, that you see over there, it's a b'feirish apostolic. Al teshaktsu es nafshaseichem b'chol hasheretz. So you see that machalas asuras have an effect on the nefesh. But at the same time, there's a contrast between the way that effect is described over there and the way it's described over here. Because over there, where it's a much stronger effect because it's shratzim, insects, that's a lowly thing to eat, and so that has a wrecking effect on the nefesh. And over here, it's just a sort of a clogging effect. It's much more subtle. So hatreve im bashikot, avo yesh b'shmir remenu kedusha. You see al kopanim that the foods that you eat affect who you are spiritually. So in that sense, that pasuk is illuminating for this pasuk, because it understands what the inyan of kedusha is in machalas asuris, because it helps protect our nefesh. But whereas in that pasuk it's protecting it from much more severe harm, over here it's more in a matter of keeping it pristine. Okay, so the ikar yisrael of the Ramban in this paragraph was that machalas asuris have to do with effects that the food have on the neshama, and maintaining a kosher diet helps preserve a higher level of Kedusha. The Torah is basically pointing out to us which foods we should avoid to prevent ourselves from becoming numb to spiritual stimuli. Now, what you have on most of this page, I have here, I'm sorry, Yaakov, you don't have the handout, but what you have on this handout is really a collection of a whole bunch of places where the Ramban talks about Machalas Asuras. Some of them repeat what we read over here. Some of them are in some ways contradictory. There's some pieces that are a very big challenge to work out how they all fit together. Some have sort of a more specialized version of it for a specific case. We're not going to get to go through all the Maror Mekayimis, but it is a nice collection of Maror Mekayimis, so can hold on to it. But let's take a look first. We'll see how much we have time for. But let's take a look right now at the piece near the end where it says Parashas Re'ei. There are two pieces in Parashas Re'ei. But the first one, Perek Yudal Pasuk Gimel. It says Parashas Re'ei is a much more extensive parasha of Machalas Asuras. Over here in Parashas Mishpatim, it's just Treifa, Grada. A few psukim later, there's another mitzvah, there's Bas B'chalav, also comes in this week's parasha. But it's not connected to this pasuk of Anshei Kedesh Tiyan Li. So this piece that we just read was on a very small parasha that just taught about the mitzvah of Treifa, but the Ramban took it as sort of an opportunity to give us a preface to the concept, to the topic of Machalas Asuras. Now, in Parashat Re'ei, you have the whole parasha of Machalas Asuras. And the parasha right there in Pasuk Gimel, right near the beginning, it uses a very dramatic expression. The Torah says, "Leisechel kol teyeva, thou shalt not eat an abomination." So the Ravan writes, "Hinei ratzel lohaisef bir b'machal masurim." The Torah wants to add some explanation for us that we don't know yet about machalas asuras. Elakach amar leisechel kol teyeva. It says, "Don't eat Toyeva, abomination, lahagid." This comes to teach us. Ki kol hanesarim nitavim, that all foods that are forbidden are abominable. Nefesh ha-tahira, to a pristine nefesh. So in this, here we see he's repeating what he said by us, that all the nachalas atzuris have a detrimental effect on the neshama. The Indian, okay, let's skip a line. At the end of this paragraph, it says, "Ki amachal ma'asurim gasim yelidu oivi va'atimus benefesh kasher iskarti v'mkoymai." Again, when he says kasher iskarti v'mkoymai, he means, I believe, the piece that we just did in Parshas Mishpatim. He adds over here a nice expression, right? Oivi, we saw before also, but atimus, which is a lotion of clothes, I think that supports what we were calling before, like a clog, like an inability for things to pass through. And then, so far so good. This is really reinforcing what we learned already. But then he says something a little bit surprising. This parasha collects together all of the Toyevas, or all of the Surim, and they're all Toyeva. And then he says, let's start making diyukim about which things are mentioned in parashas and which things are not. And he says, it does not mention over here the Shiratzim, the Ramasim, Kidavar Yaduahu, Shetatayevasim, Nefesh, Kol, Nekidas. He says, for that, you don't really have to be so spiritually sensitive. Even a person who's just sensitive in a gashmistic way, a person who has some self-respect for his body, for his mouth, would have an abhorrence to shratzim. So it doesn't include them in Parshas Re'eh, where it says, L'zichah kol te'eva. Aval hizkir simani ha-behema v'ha-chayev ha-dogim v'ha-oifos v'ha-nevela. Right, all of those rules about which animals you are and you're not allowed to eat, that all of those, which could appear very gishmak and appetizing, and there's nothing abhorrent from a physical point of view, that we wouldn't say that the nekiyei hadas have an aversion to it, but the nefesh would still have an aversion to it. And so they're included in the Sechel Kol Te'eva. So he makes over there a little bit of a two layers in this Indian of Tayeva, that there are some, like the Shratzim. He alluded to this already in our piece also, where he said, he didn't quite explain so fully, but he said that there's a greater effect by the Shratzim than there is by the others. So that gets fleshed out a little bit more in this piece of Parashas Re'eh. But then he says, V'lehizkir ha-treifa. He says, you know what else was left out in Parashas Re'eh? It doesn't mention treifa. Why doesn't it mention treifa? She'inena Tayeva, because that's actually not a Tayeva at all. Avol Nesra Mipnei Ha'eres Ayacholi Hamemis Shleyazik Ba'ichlav. That's forbidden for health reasons, sounds like he's saying. Eres means the poison, meaning, after all, a treif is an animal that's about to die. So he says it can't be too healthy to eat an animal that's about to die. Maybe there's a poison in it or an illness, and it can be dangerous to eat it. So that's why the treif is forbidden. Meaning all the other machalas asuris are forbidden because of a spiritual effect. The treifa is forbidden because of a health concern. That's very surprising to read, because that's certainly not what it sounded like when we were reading the piece in Parashat Mishpatim. L'cheir it's a stira. I don't really have a teretz, but I would be more that it's a little bit of a steer in a prat, but in Parshas Mishpatim, he wasn't really coming to focus on treifa. It's true that the pasuk over there is about treifa, but in Parshas Mishpatim, he meant to be speaking much more broadly, using treifa as sort of a introduction into the whole sugya of machalas asurites. And over there, in broad strokes, he was telling us about machalas asurites. And over here, in Parashas Re'eh, he says that what's true for the vast majority of machalas asurites is actually not true for the treifa. Treifa has its own reason. So that makes it then surprising that he gave that whole speech in Parashas Mishpatim when the Torah was talking about a treifa. But the point of his speech was still consistent with what it says over here in Parashas Re'eh, and that is that machalas asurites, in a general sense, are because of the effect that it has on the nefesh. Okay, take a look. Once we're there, in Parashas Re'eh, so this is a little bit me'inyan le'inyan, but what about Bas B'Chalav? Parashas Re'eh talks about Bas B'Chalav. We could really call this a piece on Mishpatim also, right? This week's Parashas Mishpatim. Now, this last paragraph on the sheet is written in Parshas Re'eh, but it could have just as well been in Parshas Mishpatim because the mitzvah of Batzav Chalav appears in both. When he talks about Batzav Chalav, the Ramban has something fascinating to say. It's along the lines of what we've been talking about, that Machalas Asuris, I would describe it this way, the overall theme of the Ramban, that you shouldn't think of Machalas Asuris as just a chayk, that we have no idea what the reason is. The reason why you're not supposed to eat the things that the Torah says not to eat is because they're not good for you. For the most part, it's because they're not good for you in a ruchnistic way. Maybe in some, it sounds like it's also in a gashmistic way. But the reason why you don't eat these things is because they're not good for you. Now, when it comes to Batzav Chalav, which again is mentioned in three places in the Torah, including in this week's parasha, the Ramban has a unique explanation into what's not good for you. And if you think about it, Batzav Chalav is particularly challenging because what I'm eating here is basar, which right meat that was kosher, and the chalav, which was also kosher. So if the foods b'teva have some detrimental effect, I mean, certainly if you think about it from a health perspective, it can't be that Batzav Chalav is not healthy. I mean, they could both not be healthy, whatever. Doctors might say that's not too good, too much to eat fatty things. But if you're okay with basar and you're okay with chalav, then you can't have a problem with Batzav Chalav from a health perspective. And the same challenge exists, I guess, from a ruchnistic perspective. Also, if the Ramban is saying that these foods, these things, the b'teva, they have this detrimental effect on the neshama, so it's hard to understand why two things that are both fine for the neshama should then have a bad effect when they come together. So the Ramban says, let's take a look at this last piece. V'tam ki'am kodei shatel Hashem alekecha. Yeah, that's the beginning of the pasuk, and then the pasuk says, "Leis vashu gadi b'chali v'imai." So he says it's a very similar expression as we had in Parshas Mishpatim, "Anche kodesh tionli," and then Basav was at the treifa. It says, "I'm kodesh ati." You're supposed to be holy. That goes together with "Leis vashu gadi b'chali v'imai." Kienenu machal nitav. This is not a food which is inherently abominable, meaning that it inherently has like some, spiritual reaction on the neshama. Aval yeser oisei liyeisenu kedoshim b'machalim. But it forbids it because we're supposed to be holier with our machalim. Or liyeisenu kedoshim shalei niya am achzari loy yirachamu. Maybe, he says, because as holy people, we're supposed to be particularly kind, opposite of cruel. And it's that kindness that causes the Torah to aser Batzav Chalav. Batzav Chalav is a violation of the midah of kindness, and maybe it instills in a person a midah of achzarius. How so? He says, well, shenachalev esaim, v'noitzim imena hachalav, shenavashal boy habim. You take the milk of a mother and use that to cook the baby? To cook a baby animal in the milk of its mother? How cruel, right? We can all recognize that that's taka a cruel thing. So Batzav Chalav is about cruelty. And I'm Kodesh Ata, so you should be marchik from anything that promotes cruelty. Batzav Chalav is cruelty. Now, the obvious kasha is, okay, that's very nice if you actually do it the way the Torah graphically describes, that you fill up, you milk an animal, you put that into a pot, and then you take that animal's baby and you put that into the pot. Ugh, that's horrible. But as we all know, that's not what the Isabas Mechalav is. The Isabas Mechalav is to keep all fleshes and all milkings from ever mixing together with one another. Zuk the Ramban. The Aval P should call Batzav Chalav Yikanis Balav, even though, of course, the Lav includes all Batzav Chalav. But that's because Ki Kol Minekes Tikari Aim, every nursing mother animal, right, every lactating animal is called a mother. V'chol Yoinik, and every suckling animal Yikari Gidi is called a kid. In other words, V'hu Derech Habishol V'hine Kulam Achzarias. What it means to say is that you have to look at these as symbols. Milk is the symbol of motherhood. really it, right? Obviously, right? It's the symbol, say it a little better, the symbol of nurturing, of caring, of kindness, right? Of a mother taking care of her young. That's what milk is. And meat is that young. That, right? Meat is an animal. Every shechted animal has a mother. The milk represents, and milk comes, it doesn't, the milk in my, in this container doesn't come from that animal's mother. But the you know, on one, in my refrigerator, I have a pan of meat that symbolically, that represents the child growing up. And on the door of my refrigerator, I have a container of milk, which represents the mother's efforts to raise that child. And if I mix the two, and dafke derech bishol, right? Everything else is just drabanan. But the Torah only asks us derech bishol, to cook that meat in that milk would represent symbolically using the force of kindness and nurturing and maternal love to in a destructive way to using it against the young that it's supposed to be raising. So to somebody that's sensitive to the symbolism, it's an act of cruelty. Now, maybe it's a little bit far-fetched, right? You could look at a container of milk and not see any of this. Not everybody recognizes love and nurture in the milk and opportunity for life in the meat and the perversion of that relationship in the cooking. Not everybody recognizes that. But Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li, or I'm Kodesh Atah L'Hashem Elokecha, you're supposed to be more receptive. Something that smacks even in the most remote way of Achzarius, you're supposed to be Mizrachik from. So therefore, you're not supposed to be Basar B'Chalav. So Basar B'Chalav, it's not because he doesn't say that because Basar B'Chalav sort of symbolically represents Achzarius, so eating it puts Achzarius into you, like the other Machalos series, that they put something harmful into you. But the act of eating is a demonstration of Achzarius. And by being Mizrachik from that, and we certainly go to great lengths to be Mizrachik from that, right? And we wait 6 hours, and we have separate sets of dishes, and like we said before, we call the Rav when the wrong spoon one goes into the wrong pot. By building a whole construct of living our lives around this separation, what we're supposed to be doing is reinforcing to ourselves this idea that we respect the kindness and the love that a mother gives to a child, that kindness and love and nurturing are values that we respect, and cruelty is something that we have an aversion to, an abhorrence for. And Basar B'Chalav, the Isser of Basar B'Chalav, is supposed to reinforce those ideas in us on a regular basis. So that's the Ramban's special treatment of Basar B'Chalav. Again, a little bit different, it's sort of an outlier. Even Treifa might be an outlier. We have the Ramban in Mishpatim and again in Re'eh telling us the general theme of Machalas HaSuros, with maybe a little bit of a steer about Treifa. Treifa might be a little bit of an outlier. Basar B'Chalav also is an outlier. But again, but still consistent with the overall theme that it's not, the Ramban is what he really means to be hammering home is that this is not a chayk. This is not like it's some hocus pocus. There's a reason that we're meant to understand by the Machalas HaSuros. Okay, the other pieces that are here, I want to take a couple of minutes to take a quick look at the piece in Parashas Acharei Mos. I brought down over here a long piece in Parashas Acharei Mos about Dam. And the Ramban discusses why Dam is Aser, and he gives two reasons. If you read it carefully, it's two reasons. I mean, on this sheet, you don't have to read it so carefully because I broke it up into two paragraphs, but that's my doing. Though he doesn't say, he doesn't really present it like that, but it seems to me like it's two separate reasons. The first one is a theme that the Ramban talks about in a number of places, which we've talked about before, I think even earlier this year or last year, about the relationship between the hierarchy between humans and animals, which is a topic the Ramban talks about in a number of places, and this is one of them. Let's skip that. But then look at the paragraph on the second page, the paragraph that begins, "Umin hayadua oid." The food, right? You are what you eat, which I guess that sort of sums up everything on this whole page, that the foods that you eat become a part of you, they become a part of who you are. Again, he's talking about the dam over here, and the pasuk emphasizes, ki adam hu ha-nefesh. If you eat the meat, you know, you shecht an animal, and you salt it, the blood is gone, now you have the meat. So the meat doesn't still contain any of the, let's call it the personality of the animal. It's just tissue, and now it's dead. So it isn't really anything. But the pasuk says, but hadam hu ha-nefesh. The dam is really where the nefesh is, and the way the Ramban in this paragraph is interpreting that, he's emphasizing that that's really where the personality lies. V'im yoichal adam nefesh kol basar. If a person is going to eat the nefesh, the soul of the animal, v'hu yischaber v'dam moi, and then that nefesh which carries, that dam which carries nefesh of the animal is going to get digested and is going to enter his bloodstream. And now his bloodstream, which carries his soul, is also going to have some residue of an animal's soul. Vahu lachodin believe tia oivi v'gasas b'nefesh adam v'toshuv kariv l'teva ha-nefesh ha-bahamis ha-sher b'nechal. You know, there are two different levels of souls. Ours is much more elevated. And the Pasuk in Kehelet says, he brings down that the nefesh ruach b'nei ha-adam ha-oili y'lamala and ruach ha-behema yeredes y'lamata la-aretz. Ours is striving upwards and theirs is going downwards. And we have two very different kinds of nefashis. And if you eat the dam, then his nefesh becomes part of your nefesh. And that's a mixture that you don't want taking place. So he says that's one of the reasons for the Isser of Achilas Dam. Again, it's very much this, I wouldn't call it an outlier. It's very much consistent with the whole theme that the foods that you eat have a spiritual effect on you, but in the case of the dam, it's a much more specific and identifiable spiritual effect. That the dam of a behema has behema soul in it. And then we have a soul, but if we eat dam, then our soul becomes mixed with the nefesh behema. Our soul is supposed to be much, much higher than the nefesh behema. And therefore we have to be misrachik from the dam. So it's a new original reason, one that doesn't get so much, again, the other one is the much more famous, much more well-known reason, but the Ramban throws in also, which I think tonight is interesting because we're focused on the Machalas Asuris aspect of it, that the dam of the behema, that is the nefesh of the behema, getting mixed up with the nefesh of the Adam. Okay, but the overall idea of Machalas Asuris is that it affects the nefesh, and like it says in Mishpatim, Ba'an Shekodesh Tiyun Li, that we're meant, the Ramban says, remember that parenthetical line where he threw in, actually, this tion li means that I want dveikus. And for dveikus, that requires kedusha, because someone that's not kaddish can't, how close could he come already to the kaddish baruch? Ki kaddish ani Hashem alekeichem. So, since actually, this tion li, that's why we're misrachik from Achalas Asuris.